God, our loving Father, we thank Thee for the richness of Thy thoughts towards us. We thank Thee, Lord, that we've been brought into the highest favor and blessing that man has ever known. be made one with Christ. Oh, what a wondrous place thou hast brought us to. Lord, may we revel in the greatness of thy blessed person, who's made all possible there at Calvary's cross, that the love of the heart of God might be shown out to us, and his purposes of grace. We thank thee for it, dear Lord, and praise we open thy word again for a little while, that our spirits may be lifted far above this scene to the very heavens. So we ask thy blessing and thy help this afternoon. We thank thee in Jesus' worthy name. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to turn to the book of Judges. We've had much about our privileges in the first chapter of the book we've been taking up in our readings, Ephesians. And we are indeed a privileged people, you know, but with privilege comes responsibility. And the children of Israel were a very privileged people as well. They were the most privileged people in the world. They were God's people. And God had given them the land. And they were to defend it. We've had a little bit, too, in the last address about contending for the faith once delivered to the saints. And there was contending in that day, too, for the people of Israel. And so I'd just like to take up just a little bit of one of the judges here, the first judge that we've come across in the book of Judges. Perhaps we could turn to Judges chapter 3, read a little bit there. And there were young men in those days that had a sense of what God's worth, and a sense of what the people of God were worth to him. And so we find them contending, shall we say, for what had been given them. You and I have so much more truth than they have. We have so much to contend for. And it was once delivered to the saints. It's not going to be delivered again. It was once and for all given to the saints. And it's a complete truth. Not truths, but the truth, the whole circle of truth. And it is something worth defending. So in the book of Judges, it was in a day when there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And we live in a day today where it seems that God is forgotten. And also it's a day when the headship of Christ is forgotten in the church that he once died for. And so those are some of the things that you and I, beloved, have been given by God to contend for. And so we get little pictures of it in the book of Judges by those men who contended for the truth of God then. In the first three judges that we come in contact with, they bring before us the three things that the children that the saints of God contend with, and that is the world, the flesh, and the devil. The first one is found in chapter 3. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan, only that the generations of the children of Israel might know, to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing thereof. namely five lords of the Philistines and all the Canaanites and the Sidonians and the Hivites that dwelt in the Mount Lebanon, from Mount Baal Hermon unto the beginning in of Hamath, entering in of Hamath. And they were to prove Israel by them to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites and Amorites and Perizzites and Hivites and Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons and served their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam and the groves. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Shushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Shushan Rishathaim 8 years. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel and went out to war. And the Lord delivered Shushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand. And his hand prevailed against Shushan Rishathaim. And the land had rest 40 years. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. It's as far as we'll go right now. Shushan Rishathaim, what a name. And that is, the meaning of that word is, it comes from the name Cush. And Cush was the son of Ham, and it means black. And so Shushan Rishathaim means the blackness of double wickedness. It's quite a name, isn't it? And the children of Israel were under his rule for 8 years. That speaks to me of this world, the world. And that is what the world is out there. And, you know, we have been talking sometimes about the various things that we have, that the saints of God are going through, their trials and afflictions. I believe in my own soul that the greatest affliction, we might say, that the saints of God have is forgetfulness of Christ. And that's what we get here when, with the children of Israel, they forgot who they belonged to. And God gave them over. He gave them over to these ones that it says here, that they were to prove Israel by them to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. It says in verse 8, therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against the children of against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Shushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And so when we forget God, and you know, it's easy for us to get to lean a little bit more and more into the world. And what happened was God allowed them to get into these circumstances, and their sons married their daughters of the enemy, and vice versa, little by little by little. How does the world get in amongst us? How does it get into my heart? How does it get into your heart? It's little by little by little. So that we don't sometimes don't even recognize it. Until first thing you know, we realize, as our brother Bill was saying, it's hard to pray. And then we realize perhaps that we've gotten away from the Lord in our souls. And so the world is out there and it's making its bid for every one of us. And one of the biggest things, I believe, is for the saints of God to marry the children of the world. Remember, the king of it is this Shushan Rishathaim, the blackness of darkness, double wickedness. That's a terrible thing, and yet that is what we see. He's the king, he's a god and prince of this world. And he would hold us in darkness. And those things come into your life and mine little by little by little. And so here's a child, a son of one of the Israelites, and he sees the daughter of one of the Canaanites. You know, Samson loved a Philistine. It's not impossible for the saints of God to love a Philistine. And a Philistine, too, the Philistines are a picture to us of the religious world that got into God's territory, God's land, by the wrong way. They came in, they didn't come in through the Red Sea, which is a figure of the death of Christ. They came around it. And they came in along the way of the Philistines, up along the bottom part of the Mediterranean. And so they haven't gotten into the land through resurrection. They know nothing about it. But they are religious. And that is one of the dangers, perhaps more of the world than it is than anything, is that which is religious. And so it robs little by little by little. It robs us of the enjoyment of Christ in our souls. So these little by little, the children of Israel forgot about what God did for them by going through the Red Sea. He forgot what God had done for them through the wilderness. And so they got into the land where these various Canaanites and Perizzites, Hivites, and so forth, all these ites, they got into there, and they began to see that these were nice people. They looked nice. They were friendly. And those are the things that we can fall into. And our children can fall into those things very easily. Do we warn them against those things? Do we remind our children as well as our own souls that what the Lord has done for us and how much we've been reminded in these meetings about the privileges that we have, our earthly portion. These people had come over Jordan, which is a figure of our death with Christ. The Red Sea is a figure of the death of Christ for us. And so they came across Jordan, and they were, as it were, in the land. They were in the first chapter of Ephesians, if you will. And at the end of the last few chapters of Ephesians, as you're well aware, I don't have to remind any of us about it, but now we get where the saints of God have to contend. They have let's read it. If we go into it, just turn, keep your finger there and turn over to Ephesians so we'll get this right. At the end of Ephesians, we're told in chapter 6, verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And then we're told to take unto ourselves the whole armor of God, that we might be able to stand against these things. As I say before, there are three enemies. There's the world, and there's the flesh, and this is what we get under the next judge in verse 12 of our chapter. It speaks of Eglon, who was the king of Moab, and he was a very fat man. And it's figurative, I believe, of the ugliness of the flesh in us. And he was judged by a judge by the name of Ehud. Then we go over to the fourth chapter. We get another one. It says that when Ehud was dead, and then the Lord sold him into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor. The captain of the host was Sisera, and so forth. Now, we find that Jabin represents the prince and the power of the air, because he had under him other subordinate powers. And as we read in our chapter just now in Ephesians, the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Satan has his realm, and so we get the world under Shushan Rishathaim, and we get the flesh within us under Ehud, or under Eglon, rather. And then we get the devil under Jabin, all those powers under him. Those are the things that we have to contend with if we're going to appreciate our privileges and in this world, the time that we're left here. So I say again, under this Othniel, he was the first one that God raised up as a judge to deliver his people. Just think of the state that they were in. Little by little, they got into the state of the world and they forgot their God. And God delivers them. So God allows things in your life and mine, individually and collectively, that he might remind us how far we've slipped. And do we realize it? We wonder why we're small. And why there's so few. We go back to our home assemblies, there's one or two, here or there. Why is it, brethren? Because we don't appreciate the truth that has been left us and given us. We haven't contended for it in our own souls. And if you and I are going to be an Othniel, if you and I are going to help defend and deliver the people of God in that sense, we have to have an appreciation for it. And so who was Othniel? He was Caleb's nephew. We remember Caleb. He was one of those faithful men who came into the land under Joshua, with Joshua. And so I like to think of Caleb delivering, a handing down all what he had gone through and endured to his nephew. And so his nephew had an appreciation of what God had done for the saints of God in bringing them into this land that he had said, I have given you. Their responsibility now was to defend that land and to put out the enemies so they could live it and enjoy it as God had intended. And so they let that slip. And now Othniel says, I appreciate what God has given. And Othniel was given a wife. And he was given a wife that appreciated along with him. She asked, it says here that if we go back into the first chapter, it says in verse 12, and Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath-Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Aksah my daughter to wife. And Othniel the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it, and he gave him Aksah his daughter to wife. And it came to pass, when she came to him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted from off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, what wilt thou? And she said unto him, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water. And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. And so she appreciated, and she not only wanted the land, but she wanted that which would give her nourishment. She wanted something to, other than just the upper spring, she wanted the nether too. She wanted more than just the land. She appreciated that. And so she was given to Othniel for his wife. I like to think, you know, that this is quite a contrast to some of those young men in Israel who went out and they set their eye upon a Philistine or a Canaanite. Because what they did was lower the standard in Israel. And every time that one of our children, or any time that any of us set our eye upon the world, it brings in a lower standard into the assembly. And this is why little by little it creeps in. And first thing you know, we don't know why. But perhaps we've been responsible. Is it true? I believe so. And I can see it in my own soul. As I go back, if I think back through the years, I know that there are times when I was not the encouragement that I should have been. But thank God there is also a recovery from it. But there's that which remains. You know, we can learn from the Word of God, or we can learn from experience. And experience leaves scars. So we can say, yes, I learned that from experience, but what have you left behind? Have you left a trail of disaster? Have we weakened the testimony? Such was it with these young men, these young girls that went out and they made contact with the enemy's people, with the blackness of double wickedness. And so, you know, Othniel means God is power. And he was a man of God. A man of God. And we're told that if we go back to the first chapter again, in verse 10, and Judah went against the Canaanites that dwelt in Hebron. Now the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba. And they slew Sheshai and Ahiman and Talmai. And from thence he went against the inhabitants of Debir. And the name of Debir before was Kirjath Sefer. And Caleb said, he that smiteth, and we read this. Now I understand that Kirjath Sefer means the city of the book. The city of the book. And that Debir means the word of God. Othniel took the city of the book. And it became to him more than just the city of the book. It came to mean the word of God to him. And you and I, you know, we can take this book and we can read it. And we can read it daily. But maybe it doesn't always get down into our souls as being the Word of God. But it meant something to Othniel, and it encouraged him and enabled him to be a deliverer of the people of God. And so I like to see this in the names of that we get mentioned here. Othniel can also mean the lion of God or the strong man of God. And so we read of him, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel and went out to war, and the Lord delivered Shushan and Rishathaim into his hand. Now he came from Hebron, which means communion. And you know, unless we're in communion with the Lord cannot use us for deliverance of ourselves or for the saints of God. Now, how do I deliver the saints of God? By the way I walk. It's not so much saying as much as leading and being an encouragement. And every one of us has that capacity. We can all be an Othniel. And Othniel had a good wife. And you dear young sisters, are you going to encourage your husband or your boyfriend to be a man of God? I think we see that in Othniel and his wife, Aksa. And so they had this land, the south land and the north land. It was that which was refreshment. And it enabled him, I say again, to be a deliverer to the saints of God. You know, I think of Jonathan and his armor bearer. And where the two of them went up and they delivered the saints of God in that little piece of land, you know. And who went up with them? The armor bearer says, I'll go with you. We're not even told the name of the armor bearer. And I sometimes think of this in the case of a young man, and his wife can be an armor bearer, or she can be someone who goes along and helps and goes where he goes in his exercises. But what a terrible thing it is when the opposite is true. What disaster. What weakening of the saints of the testimony of God. And let me say this, it's the testimony of God. The testimony of God, what is it? We were singing about it just now in this hymn. What was it, blessed God, led thee? Or what, or it wasn't, that isn't what it was. It was, well, you know, I can't quote it right now. What raised the wonder thought? Well, it was God. It was in the mind of God from a bygone eternity. That is a testimony of God. And if we go into the first chapter of Corinthians, just for a moment, chapter 2, Paul says here, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." Just stop and think about that for a while. The testimony of God. He's only got one testimony, and that's concerning his Son, Jesus Christ. Further down it says, verse 9, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." The Spirit searcheth the deep things of God. In the time of Othniel, the Spirit of God was not, the saints of God were not indwelt with the Spirit of God. You and I have such a far greater privilege. It's what is spoken of, that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. We have the Spirit of God within us that the saints of God then did not have. The Spirit of God worked in them and with them and moved them, like it moved Othniel here to deliver the saints of the people of God. And he delivered them from Shushan Rishathaim. And so the saints of God were, it says, they had peace for 40 years. Isn't that wonderful? They had peace for 40 years. How can we be peacemakers? Blessed are the peacemakers, we're told. And the thing is, Othniel had an appreciation in his own soul for what God had done. And he loved the people of God. And the Spirit of God moved him to deliver the saints of the people of God with what he had. We find later, further on, that there was another judge that we quite often sing about, you know, Shamgar. Shamgar had an ox goad. Doesn't say much about him. He slew the Philistines 600 men, an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. But what did he do it with? With what he had at hand. He had an ox goad, one of the big poles that they had prod the oxen with. And he took that and he slew the Philistines, 600, or was it 600? 600 men. God used him to do it because he had a heart for it, and because he hated God's enemies, those that would bring his people into bondage. And so you and I, whatever is at hand, we have the Word of God. Let's make this Kirjath Jearim a Deber. Let's make the book the Word of God to us. Othniel did, and he delivered the saints of God. Let us think about these things. And as I say, there's no age limit. It can start in our youth, and that's when it should. And you sisters, too. It's not just the men. But The young men are the responsible ones, and they're the ones that Satan wants to get a hold of to destroy the testimony of God. And the testimony of God, again I say, is that which concerns His Son. And if you want to go right down to what it is really in the mind of God, the church is God's testimony. As He sees it in His eyes, not as man sees it today. That's the testimony of God. May we value it and seek to be overcomers and deliverers of the people of God.